chapter 11. Okie doke. Okay, we got yesterday they did some recording of that again. So hopefully we get that on one CD, about 18 songs or so. We're in Luke chapter 11. At verse 14. And we'll go and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand the thoughts here out of this passage. Help us to see how things are going as far as our country, the world, the church situation. Help us to be people who understand the signs of the times. And I pray you'd help us to be the few that stay faithful to thee just because of your grace. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Luke chapter 11, verse 14. I'm going to come back to it, lay a little groundwork here. When you get the opportunity to travel out of country, I would encourage you to take the opportunity. And that way you could kind of see what's going on in other parts of the world. And actually, you'll see how good you have it in this country. But if you look at how things are going, one of the marks of the mighty men of David was that they understood the signs of the times. And I'm not a real optimistic person. My wife and I kind of joke about that. She's the optimist and I'm the realist. But if you look at the signs of the times, you look at the country, you look how things are going, I the economy is going well, but spiritually, this country's not looking good. Okay, and the generation coming up, this younger generation outside of the church, are an absolute mess. Outside of the church. And ones in the church are not much better. But I don't know, I see already Bible-believing churches are struggling. Okay, they are all across the country. The fundamentalists in a well-populated area, they have an appearance of things going well, but if you look deeper, it's not. Okay, and I see things are struggling. I see believers are really struggling throughout the country. And often when somebody gets saved, a new believer, they come into a church and they walk into a church and they think, man, everybody's a saint here. Okay? And you discover we're all struggling. We just all have different struggles. Okay? And unfortunately, many of them are losing the battle as far as their life goes. In Brent's next newsletter or next monthly letter, he's going to give three situations he's had to deal with in the last month in the little church that he's got to deal with. And he has shown the struggles that they're going through. And it's, big time struggling. Okay? And but that's all across the country. If you're in Luke chapter 11, hold your finger here and go back to Mark 4. We'll come back to Luke 11 and go through it. I'm going to exegete it. That's a pretty impressive word. So if you put some money in the offering plate, you just got your money's worth with that big $50 word. When I first heard exegesis, I said, what is that? So I looked it up, and it just means explain. Why can't they just use the right word, explain something? But Mark chapter 4, verse 19 is Jesus' interpretation of the third recipients, the third type of heart that receives the Word of God. And unfortunately, I would dare say this is the description of the majority of Christians, especially in America. And other countries like Australia. Okay, Mark 4, verse 18. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word and it become unfruitful. Unfortunately, I dare say that is the description of the average person sitting in a pew today. And I'm talking even in the Bible-believing churches. Okay? And when you travel to a foreign culture, the first time I traveled overseas was in Romania in 1991. And when I got there, I looked around. And I said, wow, this country's weird. The farm equipment is like the farm equipment here in America in the 1940s. Their train system was like the trains of the 1930s. It was a mess. There was a farmer before communism overtook Romania. He had a tractor, so he could see that he's going to lose his tractor to the communists. And so he took it apart piece by piece and wrapped each of the pieces in grease and then buried it. And after 1991, he survived the whole situation. He took it back out of the ground and rebuilt it and put it back together and started to fire it up. Mr. Grebe, the fellow that we had play violin on Saturday night, he was raised in Moldova. He was the number one violinist in Moldova, but his grandfather was a farmer there before communism came in, and they just took his farm. So in Romania, it was, you know, I was there in 1991, and I thought, man, you're just looking at the pictures. Before I was born, that's what it looked like. Going to Australia. Churches are in a mess in Australia. I mean, you just can't find them. You have to travel hours to even find any semblance of a good church in Australia. Okay, in Costa Rica, where Brent's at, the churches are in a Hispanic culture. The music is obviously a drawback for them, and Brent's never going to have anything in large numbers because if he's just going to try to keep the music biblical, it's not going to go far. And you just got to understand it. And I understand it. The music we play here is going to stay the same by God's grace. Okay, I'm not going to go to the contemporary crowd. The contemporary crowd are going to start to have to bring in beer in order to keep them coming. And God will not compromise to win a soul. He won't do it. Okay? Now, in Luke chapter 11, when I travel in foreign cultures, what it does to me personally is when I come back home, I appreciate the influence of the Bible in America. Why has God blessed America? Capitalism? Liberty? All those things? No, those are byproducts. God blessed this country because this country honored the King James Bible. That's the one it honored at the start. The pilgrims brought in the Geneva, but then the King James superseded the Geneva Bible. The Geneva is a Calvinist Bible, Calvinist notes. And the first Bible that was commissioned by Congress to be published for a Bible for this country was the King James Bible published by Robert Atkin in 1792 or something like that. That's why God has blessed America. And when you go to foreign cultures, cultures that have not held true to the Bible, and I know our country has not held true to the Bible, but the foundation of it for the first 100 years, you and I are still reaping benefits from that foundation. We're still reaping it. The entire internet system is based upon Samuel Morris because he read one verse in Job about electricity being used for words. The very first Morse code where they ran a wire from one place to another is he quoted four words out of the King James Bible. That entire system, the fruit that we have of that entire system came from one man who believed the book. You go back and read the history. That same man wrote two books warning Americans about infiltration of Jesuits. Have we paid attention to that warning? No, we have not. It's the same crowd that's been attacking the King James Bible. Guy Fawkes was a guy that tried to blow up Parliament and tried to blow up some of the translators of the King James Bible on November 1st back in those days. That's the opposition we're up against. When I travel a foreign country, I foresee the possibilities of the loss of influence of the Bible in our culture. I also observe the spiritual poverty in these cultures. Now, the physical poverty is obvious in many of them, but the spiritual poverty is worse. And it also renews my effort of spiritual warfare. Okay, because witchcraft and spirits are more in the open in Europe than it is here. Here it's more glossed over. It's right in your face in Europe and in Australia. It's right in your face, okay? And in the in Central America and the Catholic cultures, the spiritism is more subtle, but if you know what you're looking for, you can see it. And so what it does, it renews my interest, or it renews my being vigilant about spiritual warfare. Okay, because when you travel in other cultures, the spirits, it's like the water. When you go in other cultures, you don't drink the water. Okay, Brent and I and Jen, we did some visiting on the hill, the Tarasus. Okay, what this place is where they have a church is if you take the Newton County dump and take about 30,000 people who squat on the side of the dump and put up 10 by 10 tin shacks, no floors, just dirt. Okay, that's the people he's trying to minister to. And when that lady brought me a glass of water, I'm looking at it like, oh boy, that is going to make me sit in a pot the rest of the 2 weeks. I'm not drinking that. I'm just not going to do it. And I know that those people haven't had water for a month, so they have to carry the water from the down of the hill, two 5-gallon buckets. And when she gave Brent that, and he's drinking, I'm thinking, you can drink it, son. You have to worry about offending. I don't care, man. I'm not drinking it. Okay, now in the Bible, water, the positive aspects of water or the productive aspects of water portray the Bible. The negative aspects of water is that water seeks its own level. That portrays man. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He is like the wave, a constant movement. So when you go in foreign cultures, even in Israel and Australia, we're very particular about the water we drink. Okay, in Australia, 20 minutes away from Heidi is a natural spring. There we go, that's something good. Okay, and so you got to be very particular about that, because the reason why is in their water, as in our water, depending on water you drink, low water, I wouldn't drink low water, but there's parasites. And we're used to our parasites. We're not used to their parasites. And so that's the idea. Now, if you use that analogy and throw that in the spiritual realm, okay, the same applies. Okay, now if you would, Luke chapter 11, we'll exegete this in verse 14. Okay, and it says, and he, Jesus, was casting out a devil. Luke 11:14. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. Not mentally, physically. It, referring to the person that this devil came in. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, the individual spake, and the people wondered. Okay, the first idea here is people wondered about this. This is unusual to a lot of people. Okay, this is strange to a lot of people. Okay, you look at the passage, notice that there was a spiritual problem that manifested itself in a physical ailment. Now, that's not true in all cases. Now, I'm not saying if you get a cold, you're possessed. Okay? Okay, but there are cases. Now, this is the limitation of doctors. When a person goes to a doctor, the only thing the doctor looks at is physical. They never consider spiritual. When they go to a psychiatrist, all the psychiatrist does is consider physical. Even though the psychiatrist is dealing with something spiritual, he doesn't know how to deal with it. And so what do? They give medication. That's what psychologists are doing all the time now. And the medication makes it worse. The medication is job security. Keep coming back. And you read some of that stuff, it'll have a side effect of suicide. Thoughts of suicide in that medication. And so this is shocking to people. And it should not be shocking to us. I know a chiropractor that's a safe man, and he had a young boy on his table. He's going to do some adjustments, and he sensed that the boy had a spiritual problem. And so while he has the boy on his table to adjust him, he happened to put his hand on and was going to lean down and pray to rebuke the unclean spirit, and the kid raised his hand and said, "Don't you do that." Okay, now I would have done it anyway. Now he stopped, said to his mom, "I really can't help you." Why? Because his physical ailment was caused by a spiritual problem. This person, when the spirit left, then he was able to speak. Okay, now that's not true in all cases. I play it safe. When I have an issue, I start spiritual first. Okay, and then work down. You can't go wrong with that method as far as that goes. Now, what's so shocking about this to people is that they've just never seen this. Okay, but it shouldn't be shocking to us. Why? In the Bible portrays spirits as birds. Now, I've gone through this before, so I'm not going to go through it again, but okay, when Noah, after the water was starting to descend down, okay, Noah sent out the first time a raven, and that raven feasted on the dead bodies on the water. Never came back. The next time he sent out a dove is a picture of the Holy Ghost, so birds picture spirits. Okay, and the dove brought back a symbol of life. So the dove is symbolizing life. The raven feasts on death. That's what unclean spirits do. Okay, unclean spirits in the Bible are portrayed as unclean birds, flies, mosquitoes, parasites. That's how they're portrayed in the Bible. Okay, and so a lot of times if you happen to deal with a Christian and if you just simply ask them, "Have you ever considered maybe you're messing with an unclean spirit?" "Are you saying I'm possessed of the devil?" "Well, have you ever considered that?" "I'm immune."
"You're infested."
Why? Have you ever been bit by a mosquito? Of course. Now, if you got 100 mosquitoes buzzing your head, obviously you're going to do something. Okay? And so one mosquito, you just smack it. Okay? But if you got a bunch, yes, these things can influence us. They can bother us. They can cause us issues. Saved and lost alike. Salvation is a non-issue in this matter. Okay, the next statement, the next two verses. So the first one is the people wondered. We shouldn't wonder about these things. We should know what to do. The next thing is some of them said, "He casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils." Okay, now Beelzebub means the lord of the flies. So a fly is a picture of an unclean spirit. Now, who is saying this? Okay, if you go to the cross references, you'll see that it's the religious leadership of the Jews, the scribes. They are maligning Jesus Christ. They are saying Jesus Christ is a devil and he's casting out devils by himself, the devil. When they did that, when they said that, they committed the unpardonable sin. This is explained in Mark chapter 3, and that's when the nation of Israel went into blindness officially. So in verse 15, and it says, "And others tempting him sought him of him a sign from heaven." So you can't go to the religious crowd because they don't know what they're doing. Okay, and in fact, they're blundering here because they're referring to the Lord Jesus Christ to be the devil incarnate. When the Antichrist shows up, they're going to think he's the Christ. Who is? Fundamentalist. Okay, now, the next part is our Savior is going to marvel. We're going to marvel at our Savior and his power. In verse 15, "And he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, Every king divided against itself is brought to desolation. A house divided against the house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Okay, and then he says, because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? He uses their ideas against themselves. That's sharp. Okay, and then he said, therefore shall they be your judges. And if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. Okay, the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. So God gives us spiritual weapons to fight into the spiritual kingdom. With the finger of God. That's the power our God has. You know, sometimes in the summertime, you know, I'm studying, a fly bothers me. Okay? I generally, you know, fly swatter is the handiest thing, but my favorite tool, if one just doesn't get the message, is I like to get it and take its wings off and then set it on the table. And I kind of sadistic about that, you know? But, and then I just run around now, pal. You know, and then when time gets to it, I like to take my finger, because it's the finger of God, and get real close and just give it a little boost. You know, that's the power of God Almighty. If we hit the switch. The problem is most people don't hit the switch. At the light switch right there, there's power right there at that light switch. And if I complain about being dark and I didn't hit the switch, people would say, well, you dingling, go turn the switch on. Oh, it's dark in here. Most people don't hit the switch. What's the switch? It's belief. That's the switch. Believe God. Okay, now the Lord has given us all sorts of spiritual weapons in our tool belt in this spiritual warfare. One is the sword of the Spirit. That's obvious. Another is prayer and fasting. That's obvious. Okay, another is the blood and name of Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of things are so obvious to us, but we forget. We forget. Okay, so if you have a child that's got bad dreams, do the obvious. Pray, cleanse your house. Now, I know the charismatics talk about this and the Baptists are afraid of it, but that doesn't mean that we ignore a truth. So in verse 20, but if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. Okay, the armament that we have is the spiritual weaponry. Now, in our country, we have the blessing that we can have physical armament. A preacher friend of mine was street preaching down Indianapolis. I don't think he was by himself. When he got done, somebody pulled a knife on him. And so he had physical armament, and so he just went like this, and the guy saw a Smith & Wesson, his insurance policy. And the guy took off. Now, that's the way it's supposed to be. We can just kind of show that to the devil. It's a 66 caliber blackback book. Man, that works. Okay, and then he says, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him, overcome him, he taketh from him all the armor wherein he trusted and spoiled his, and divided his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. Okay, now 24, 25, 26 shows something very interesting about the individual. Okay, so this now is going to pull it down to each of us individually. Okay, we are in a spiritual warfare. Who is your greatest enemy? The devil? No. The world? No. Who is your greatest opponent? Yourself. That's why in Proverbs 26:32, the greatest soldier is a soldier who conquers himself. Okay, now in Luke 11:24, when the unclean spirit is gone out of the man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest. Okay, here's a little information about these spirits. These spirits are parasites. A parasite needs a host. Okay? And they follow the line of least resistance. Okay? If one leaves dad or mom, the least resistance is kids. It follows a line of least resistance. So if dad and mom knows what they should do is they could protect their family. So then if they protect their family, then it's got to go someplace else to find something. And that's how these things work. It's just like nature. It's just like animals in nature. They follow the line of least resistance. It's just like water. So that's why he tells us in James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Not might. That's the power. So they always follow the line of least resistance. They've got to find a host. The maniac of Gadara had 2,000 in them, and they went to the hogs, and they had hogicide, you know, and all that stuff. Okay, thoughts of suicide are evidences of spirits. Nothing to do with salvation. Okay, if somebody takes their life, those spirits now are going to find another victim. Okay, if it's say in a youth group, it will go to another party within the church. Follows a line of least resistance. And then it says this, seeking rest, finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house once I came out, and when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Notice the house got clean and garnished. What's garnished? It got decorated. Decorations don't do anything. Decoration of religious trappings. And then it says this, and then he goeth he and taketh it to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. So this house is swept and garnished. This is what the Bible calls a form of godliness. Okay, if you're going to pour a concrete wall, you put up a form. You got the rebar in there. Before the concrete's poured in, the form of godliness is empty on the inside. So when these spirits leave this person, it tries to follow the line of least resistance. So then I'm going to go back home. He goes back home. He finds that it's empty. It is garnished. It has religious trappings. But it's not filled with the Spirit, with grace, or with the Word of God. This idea of spirits, I have seen it more with fundamental Baptists anywhere. Why? Because that's the favorite target. Okay, where they have the outward appearance, but when you get to know these people and spend some time, time eventually shows, man, these people are more shallow than I thought they were. There's no foundation to them. It's like it's infiltration of the camp. The camp is bugged. You see, a vigilant soldier, each and every one of us have to take heed to ourselves. We got to take care of our situation, and then we can work out from there. Okay, if you would, in Romans chapter 6. Okay, in Romans, this letter to the saints of Rome, you have chapters 1, 2, and 3 about the sinfulness of man, and then you have the remedy, is imputed righteousness, justification by faith in Jesus Christ, 4 and 5. So, as far as the born-again believer, his record in heaven is spotless. Thank God for that. Okay? But your life down here, everybody will say, your record in heaven is spotless, but boy, you sure are infested. So chapter 6, 7, and 8 of Romans shows how I personally can get cleaned up. Okay, so it's dealing with sanctification. And you read down through that, and it says stuff like this. It says that you and I are dead to sin. You say, I'm not dead. Well, yeah, you are. You're dead to sin. That's what he said. Okay, and so what a person needs to do is you take heed to your attitude, first and foremost, and secondly, take heed to your actions. Okay, and you work on these two. If you get your attitude, your actions will follow. But if you get an attitude of temptation, attitude of, let's say you feel like you're going to get mad about something, or an attitude of bitterness, or an attitude of depression. Okay, you sense that coming on. Romans 6:11 is the light switch. It's a light switch. What is it? He says, I reckon, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now notice, in verse 4, these weapons are available to us. And in verse 4 it says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also will walk in newness of life. Did it say will? It says should. Should implies you have the opportunity, but you got to hit the light switch. Calvinists will say, well, that proves you're saved. Yeah, right, right. Yeah, that's a new thing coming up, you know. No, you should. You and I should walk in newness of life. We should be different. We should live above our circumstances. But most of us don't. Why? Because we're struggling. Why? We got to reckon ourselves dead. Try it sometime. When you get that feeling and you feel that temptation, just utter a prayer right on the spot. Lord, I don't get it, but I reckon I'm dead. And you know what happened? You hit the light switch. And the power comes through them wires, the power of the Holy Ghost. And then he gives us the capability to overcome. See, it's not in our capability. See, can you live the Christian life? No, I can't. I can't do it. But Jesus Christ can through me. But I got to hit the switch. And a lot of people are hitting the switch. I reckon. It's hillbilly, I reckon. I'm not going to be a hillbilly to say I reckon. Okay, then struggle. Just humbly believe the book. And it says in John 17:17, Jesus Christ's prayer, the true Lord's prayer. In John 17, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Spirit of God takes this book and will cleanse us, but we got to hit the switch. We hit the switch by faith. Salvation is full and free and available to everybody. Why do most people don't take it? They don't hit the switch. It's right there. The switch is believe in Jesus Christ. And you hit that switch, the eyeballs light up. And the truth is made manifest to us. And then God gets the glory because he's the one that works it through us. Belief is the switch. The spiritual weapon that's available to us is I believe I'm dead to sin. You say, how does it work? I have not a clue. I don't know how the cell phone works. Not a clue in that stuff. I just know it's available. It's free. You can't fail in trying. Just let the Spirit live it through us. And you'll see the power that comes. That's for us as a soldier. Then there's other areas that we can use other weaponry to try to be a conquering soldier for Jesus Christ to bear fruit. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do and ask that you'd help us to see that the power is available. This book is powerful. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to each of us when we get a feeling of temptation or a feeling of discouragement or lethargy or depression, that we just utter at the time, just utter it out loud. Just say, Lord, I reckon I'm dead to that. And Lord, I'm asking you to fill me with your grace. I'm asking you to fill me with your Spirit. And just allow the Spirit to work through each of us. Help us to see that that is available, that we could give you honor and you glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, well.